Good morning. Let me begin today by reading Ezekiel 36:22-38. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God. When I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, In the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will cause you to dwell in the cities, and the way shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel's work as God's prophet came at an extremely difficult time. The world, as Israel knew it, was crumbling. Assyria fell. Babylon grew in power. Egypt tried to reassert itself as one of the major world powers. In these international clashes, much too often Palestine was the battlefield. It was bad enough for a Jew to live in this period, yet for Ezekiel it was worse. When Babylon defeated Jerusalem, Ezekiel was among the first group of Jewish captives sent to Babylon. In Babylon, among the Jewish captives from Jerusalem, he received his prophetic call. Jerusalem still stood. The temple was intact, and many felt the worst had passed. Ezekiel's first responsibility was to inform Israelites the impossible was certain to occur. The city of Jerusalem would fall, and the temple would be destroyed. This was horrible news for the captives. Consider the mindset of those captives. They likely were horribly depressed. They were forced to leave their own country and people to settle in a strange country among strange people, hundreds of miles from their nation. They probably cherished memories of their country, their holy city, and their temple. They could imagine themselves at home in good times. Their hope likely centered in the fact that Jerusalem, their home, and the temple would be there when they returned, and their situation as captives was temporary. Someday they would return home. Then God's prophet dashed their memories and hopes. Their home city would be destroyed. The temple would be destroyed. Neither would remain if it were possible to return the same day. Their captive status would not end quickly. Imagine how that revelation intensified their depression. When that happened, it was Ezekiel's responsibility to restore hope among captive Israelites by reasserting God's promises. God could and would cause Israel to be restored in remarkable ways. God could and would give a dead nation life again. For a prophet, two tasks are among his most difficult challenges. Number one was to convince God's people the unthinkable unavoidably would happen. To the exiles and Jerusalem citizens, the city's fall and the temple's destruction was unthinkable. God could not allow either of those things to happen. Suggesting he would allow both of those things was preposterous. That was God's city. That was God's temple. Israel was God's nation. They were the descendants God promised Abraham. massive destruction was impossible. If they secured protection by aligning themselves with the right side, they would avoid catastrophe. Difficult task number two was to restore hope in God's people after the unthinkable unavoidably happened. When the dust settled, Jerusalem was burned, the temple was destroyed, and most living Israelites were captives in Babylon. The nation of Israel was dead. Hope was gone. There was no future. Israelites were dry bones in a valley. Not corpses, but bones dead so long that they were dry. Israel would never live again. Ezekiel wrote today's text to give captive Israelites hope. Israel would be renewed. It would happen because God willed it, not because Israel deserved it. Note Ezekiel's emphasis on God's sovereignty. Why should captive Israelites in Babylon dare place confidence in a promised renewal of their nation? Because they deserve to return to their homeland? No. Because military might would rescue them someday? No. Because they would form the right alliance with other nations that place them there? Absolutely not. Then why should they place confidence in Ezekiel's prophetic promise of renewal? Because God was sovereign, and the sovereign God willed it. They would not make it happen. Other nations would not make it happen. God would make it happen. Simply stated, it would happen because God said it would happen. Ezekiel said Israel should place hope in God. The reason was not Israel's worthiness. Israel had no worthiness before God. The reason was not Israel's importance. For centuries, Israel concluded God was active among them because of their significance and importance. That was not true. It never would be true. Israel was informed before they entered Canaan, such as was not true. Consider Deuteronomy 9:4-6. Do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess this land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is disposing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of those nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you, in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn people. Ezekiel's reason was God. From Israel's beginning, God declared His holiness, His love, His faithfulness, His trustworthiness through His work among the Israelites. Israel's huge mistake was they thought God was active among them because of their significance. God was active in Israel because of His significance. We urgently need to understand this and take note of it in our service to God. Placing the emphasis on us is disastrous. The emphasis must be placed on God. Note the stress on God causing Israel's renewal in order for God to vindicate Himself. Let Ezekiel's statements as God's prophet speak for themselves. Ezekiel 36:22. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. Note, God specifically declared He would not act for Israel's sake, but for the sake of His holy name. Israel had misrepresented Him to the nations. The result was that the nations had no respect for His holiness. Verse 23, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. God will set the record straight among the nations. Israel's misrepresentation of Him caused nations to regard Him as an unholy God. God would demonstrate His holiness in a way they could not mistake. Verse 24, For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. God would do what the current nations regarded as an impossibility. He would gather Israel and return them to their land. Verse 32, I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord God. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Verse 36, Then the nations that are left round about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it. This statement closes the chapter. Verse 38, Then they will know that I am the Lord. And how will Israel react to God's renewal? Verse 31, Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abomination. Only when people realize God's work among them is about God and not about them do they begin to see their arrogance and be ashamed. Take note of Ezekiel's writing in God's voice, emphasis on I will sprinkle clean water on you and cleanse you from all your filthiness, verse 25. I will give you a new heart and spirit and remove your heart of stone, verse 26. I will put my spirit in you and cause you to live in my instructions, verse 27. I will save you from all your uncleanliness, verse 29. Now why would God do this? You have misrepresented me among the nations. Therefore, I will vindicate the holiness of my great name. When I do this, the nations will know that I am the Lord. Verse 23. God made two facts undeniably plain. Number one, I, God, will do this because I must vindicate my holy name. Verse 22. And secondly, in verse 32, I, God, will not do this for your sake, but for the sake of my holy name. God's will happens because God is God. He is patient, He's forgiving, He's merciful, yet He's determined. The moment would come when His holiness and His supremacy were vindicated among the nations. In spite of us, our arrogance, our evil, and our misrepresentations of God, it will be obvious to the nations that God is God. It is not about us, it is about Him. We misrepresent God to the world when we substitute tradition or denominational doctrines for the truth of the gospel, making human concerns of greater significance than revealing God to people, creating a connection between materialism and the gospel rather than spirituality and the gospel. Friends, if you have any questions, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.